You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another fun-filled episode of the M Squared TechCast. Got a pretty good show for you today, I think, Mike.
Yeah, well, we try, you know. Okay. So. Calling in from, I think, Detroit to... And it's pronounced Victoria Katansky, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Got it first time. How are you?
All right.
And she's the spokesperson for Hatch Detroit, $100,000 contest this year. I think last year it was $50,000 or not, maybe. What was it last year? I know it's bigger this year.
Yeah, so Hatch, the Comerica Hatch Detroit contest is a portion of the work that we do at Hatch Detroit. And this year, Comerica raised the prize money to a full $100,000 to support a local business in the city of Detroit, Hamtramck, or Highland Park.
Now, unlike a lot of the sort of pitch competitions that we talk about here on this show, this one's about brick and mortar, right? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so the main focus of our organization is to support independent retail, and the reason for that is to have independent retail in brick-and-mortar spaces to kind of create a more walkable and enjoyable neighborhood experience for residents and visitors. And so that's why we focus on the brick-and-mortar aspect of it.
So this doesn't, you know, traditional... Well, the kind of investing that Matt and I talk about all the time is more of, angel investing, venture capital investing. They don't typically invest in bricks and mortar lifestyle businesses. They're looking for something that's replicatable and that's scalable and can make them oodles of money. So yours is quite different.
Yeah, so we really focus on the complete opposite. For us, it's building a unique city or helping to support the building of a unique city. So really our people don't, you know, our primary target is not looking to make, 50 different, 50 of the same businesses across the nation. What they're really looking for is to create a destination for customers in the city of Detroit, Hamtramck, or Highland Park. So you wouldn't find it anywhere else.
Okay. So who can apply for this and what form does the application take?
The application is found on our website, and it's through like a form generating application process. And really, anybody can apply. Again, they only have to have a brick and mortar business, and it has to be retail based. So we define retail as anything that you can come in, any that's open to anyone, and that you can purchase something there, whether it's purchasing a service. Or purchasing a dress, it doesn't matter. But it's being able to be open to everyone and, you know, like maybe going to purchase a spin class or to purchase a yoga class, it would apply.
All right. And so it's pretty easy. I mean, how many years have you been doing this now? I'm trying to remember that. How many years has Hatch Detroit been doing this?
Well, this is our ninth contest year, and I keep saying contest because we do other things than just have the contest. We support our alumni throughout the year and try to make them more sustainable throughout their business through technical assistance and other things. The contest time is usually June till August. It's extended a little longer this year, but this will be our ninth year. And to date, we've had 42 businesses open up after going through the contest.
So it isn't, it isn't winner take all $100,000. There's various tiers.
No, winner takes all $100,000, but all 10, when they go through the contest, receive the benefit of being exposed to the public and that allows them to get proof and concept, unbelievable amount of marketing support and exposure. And then they also have access to some of our pro bono services, depending on the sponsor, in addition to technical assistance and support from the organization as a whole.
All right.
And our goal is really to get them all open.
So what kind of businesses have you helped? I'm intrigued to know what kind of businesses have opened shops or otherwise under this program.
Well, under the contest specifically, our winners have been, you know, Hugh, which is a lifestyle business that sells furniture and really cool accessories in Midtown. Mm. We've had La Feria restaurant that's opened up, which is the authentic Spanish tapas restaurant in the city. We've had Batch Brewing Company, which they, you know, they do small batch brews and also have really delicious food menu. Live Cycle Delight is one of my favorites. I mean, they're all my favorites, but she has a spin studio and yoga place in West Village. And then everybody, I'm sure a lot of people have heard of Sister Pie because she's gotten some national attention with the James Beard Awards. She was one of our winners as well. Couple, you know, Baobab Fair. And last year we had Toma Detroit win, which they are opening a tequila and restaurant in Corktown.
Huh. And so do you guys get anything beyond this? I mean, investors typically then get some kind of share of how the company does, but that's not what happens here, right?
No, we have no desire to have any stake in their business. What we're just here to do as a nonprofit is to support their longevity and to support their growth in the city. You know, we've had no businesses close. One closed just because they wanted to move on to doing something else. But most of the businesses that have gone through our programming have stayed open. And I mean, that's pretty unheard of. Small business typically can go under within 6 months. And we've had people open, you know, now almost 9 years.
Wow.
And they're just, you know, I think it's a combination of, you know, who they are in the process of selection. But it's also the process that they go through and the exposure that they receive and just everything that they've done to get this far allows them to be a very strong business. And that said, I have no desire to tell, you know, have any interest in how Sister Pie bakes her pies because she does it wonderfully. and that's why she won, you know, a $50,000 prize from Banquet here.
Huh.
So who's behind, who formed Hatch Detroit anyway? Whose idea was this originally?
Yeah, so our board chair, Nick Gorga, formed the organization when he moved back from Chicago. And the entire intent was to kind of, he thought about his neighborhood in Chicago and how walkable it was and how all these small businesses made it incredibly unique and unique from other neighborhoods in Chicago itself. And when he came here, he wanted to do something to support the growth of the city and came up with this idea of launching a contest to bring one business forward. And from there, you know, after I joined the organization right after that first year contest, and we really focused on saying that, you know, all 10 should be opening and how do we support the 10 to get to that level? And that's kind of been our direction since then, because it's far more impactful to use the momentum of the contest to help the alumni program bring these people, you know, to open a store.
Mm-hmm. So how is the judging done? Who makes the decisions as to who wins?
So there's a process involved in selecting the 10. And our theory is once those 10 are selected, anybody can win. And so that process prior involves some internal reviews on a larger scale. And then we open a small select group to about 50 people that are very focused on small business in the city of Detroit. There are partners. Some of them are just customers. Some of them are alumni. Expert opinions to just who the 10 are. Once the 10 are announced, so they can, anybody should go to a public vote, and that publicity component.
You're breaking up.
Yeah,
real
you're,
bad.
Yeah, Vittoria, I'm sorry. Your cell phone's breaking up real bad at the moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I guess if you can hear better now, the ability for the pen to come to the really gives, you know, them a chance to have proof of concept. And the 10 are voted down to 4 by full public support. After that, we do another vote from the public, but the final determination of who of the 4 wins is a combination of the judges and with the understanding of what that public support was. So judges make the final decision. But they also take into consideration what the popular vote was. And in all honesty, it's done that way so that one, you know, the public gets a very strong, you know, they have a very strong voice in this process. But when it comes down to it, we want the experts to provide us with who the best or the person who is most ready to receive the $100,000 would be and to be our best partner at that time.
Okay.
How many applications do you typically get? How big of a draw is this?
The applications we get anywhere, depending on the year, from, you know, almost 300 to 400. But on, it's the voting that's very different. The voting we get, you know, in the 20s and 30 thousands of votes. So that's where the piece is exciting. We also have a neighborhood vote that we have our, you know, we locate in different neighborhoods throughout the city and allow for these potential entrepreneurs to interact with the communities and help them determine where they really want to set up shop. And that's been really a nice piece because they get to talk to their potential customers one-on-one.
All right, so let's go over once again. If somebody wants to apply, give them the website address and all the rest.
Yeah, so if applications are accepted now through July 31st at hatchdetroit.com. After that, we'll make the announcement of who our top 10 will be on September 27th, and the final winner will be announced October 17th. HatchDetroit.com.
All right. Thanks very much, Vittoria Kitansky. Once again, that is HatchDetroit.com. For more information on how you can become a new retailer or restaurateur in Detroit, Highland Park. And what was the other location, Vittoria?
Hamtramck.
Okay. Once again, that's HatchDetroit.com. And we'll be back in just a moment with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening live on PodcastDetroit.com or elsewhere in a whole bunch of places. This is the M Squared TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU 5th among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast.
Good timing. I'll take that out when I edit.
Okay. Is this John McLaughlin on the phone?
I lost him. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Okay. We'll take that out when we edit, too.
Live radio. Yeah, it's so much fun when people are calling in.
Hopefully. Ah, there we go.
Okay.
Got him now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi. Okay. Well, let me start the whole segment again.
Yeah, this is we'll just cut that off.
And, all right. This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. Calling in from a big company called KLA Tencor is John McLaughlin. Welcome to the show, John, and let us know, what is your title there?
Thank you, guys. My title at KLA is Senior Director and Ann Arbor Site Leader.
Ah, okay.
All right. So let's start off with, I mean, I'm sure no one, some few people in our audience probably know what KLA is, but I know that this thing has been going on for a while. You got some support from the MEDC, and now you're bringing a big R&D center to Ann Arbor. Let's kind of get into those details.
Sure, yeah. So KLA is a semiconductor equipment company. We're based in California, Milpitas, California. And we're bringing a 600-person R&D organization to Ann Arbor. We're very excited about it.
Semiconductors in Michigan, how does that fit?
It fits great. So we came here for engineering talent, came because the quality of life is very high and the cost of living is much lower if you compare it to California.
Yep.
We're also excited to build new connections with the automotive industry. So automotive is a portion of our current revenue. We're hoping to grow that as we look to kind of long-term opportunities. And wanted to open a second site in an exciting region. Certainly excited about all the tech expansions happening here in Southeast Michigan. And it just made sense for all those reasons.
Okay. So give us a little of the history of KLA Tencor. I know the company's based in Silicon Valley, right? But it has operations elsewhere. Tell us a little bit about the history of the company.
Yeah, absolutely. So the company rebranded actually in January of this year. We are no longer KLA Tencor. We are just KLA. We started over 42 years ago, had a base in the Silicon Valley region that entire time. Back in 1997, KLA merged with Tencor Corporation to form KLA Tencor. And that's when we consolidated into our current headquarters, which is in Milpitas, California. We've always been about semiconductor equipment. So we make machines that do inspection and measurement of semiconductor chips and silicon wafers throughout the fabrication and inspection process, packaging. We have expanded in recent years. We've expanded both organically and through acquisition. We acquired a company called Orbitech out of Israel earlier this year. That significantly expanded our revenue and our headcount. So we're now working in some adjacent industries, including printed circuit boards and flat panel displays. But yeah, at our core, we're about process control. We sit at kind of the bleeding edge of technology. Our tools can do really remarkable things when it comes to zooming into a wafer and finding defects that can be extremely small.
I know I've been invited to attend the open house tomorrow morning. I'm trying to see if I can work that out in my schedule. But what's the location again? Whereabouts in Ann Arbor are you going to be based or are based?
So the location that we're opening tomorrow is on the northeast side of Ann Arbor, near the corner of Plymouth and Green Road.
Oh, yeah,
we have room to expand up to 250 in that location. And then in 2021, we'll be opening up our permanent campus. That's going to be in Ann Arbor Township, just east of US 23 in the Ann Arbor Technology Park.
Yeah.
So in that permanent location, we will have about 230,000 square feet of office space, over 50,000 square feet of clean room space.
Wow.
And we're looking to hire 600 people at that location.
So what products and technologies will you be developing at this center?
So the center is going to be a growth or opportunity for the entire company. We will have cross-cutting teams of engineers as well as our other corporate functions. We'll be developing prototypes of the next generation products that we'll be manufacturing in our locations around the world.
So the initial hire, though, in your temporary location, how many folks are you looking for that?
So we're looking to hire about 100 people by the end of 2019. Mm. And then by the time we move, we're hoping to have it full. So we'd like to have 250 people on Green Road who move over to the permanent campus.
And what kinds of skills are you looking for?
So a variety of different engineers, many electrical engineers, computer scientists. We're starting an AI center of excellence at our Ann Arbor site. And then we also recruit for chemical engineers. We recruit for material scientists at lower volumes. And then, as I said, it's going to be a cross-cutting center for the company. So we're also recruiting finance people, recruiting IT. We're looking for procurement. All the various corporate functions that you would find in a company.
Uh-huh. And are you hoping to recruit a lot of U of M engineering students? Is that why you're in Ann Arbor?
That's one of the big reasons we chose Ann Arbor. We're really excited about being in the Southeast Michigan ecosystem, but we wanted to be as close to the University of Michigan as we could. So U of M is a big recruiting focus for us, but we're also recruiting at many other universities. We'll be recruiting across the state of Michigan and at select schools around the Midwest.
So the permanent home, is that going to be new construction or are you rehabbing an existing building?
Great question. We purchased a greenfield site. So University of Michigan sold us about 18 acres of land in that tech park, and we'll be building from scratch.
Okay. And that's got to be, now that, is that the $70 million that's what you're going to spend on the new facility or where does that play into it?
Yeah, we'll spend a significant amount of money on the new facility. $70 million was our original estimate based on purchasing existing real estate. We're probably going to spend, north of $150 million on this new facility.
That's great. Little tax base there, because the U of M, buying their land, you know, they don't get taxed. Everybody complains when the U of M buys stuff because they don't get any tax money out of it. So that's a good thing. So where do folks go on your website? Or how do they, if somebody's interested, it's not me or Matt, neither of us are engineers. We just happen to be writers. So, but I mean, where does one go on your website or wherever to apply for these jobs?
Great, great question. So you go to careers.kla.com and you can find all of our job opportunities listed on that site. We encourage people to apply wherever they see a fit. As you know, we're hiring for a lot of positions. So the more applications we get, the better.
Okay.
So, John, what's your personal background? Have you lived in Michigan ever before or is this something new for you?
Yeah, I am from Michigan. I grew up here in Ann Arbor. I went to U of M as an undergraduate. I lived in Boston for about 8 years, and then I moved back with my wife in 2013. So KLA hired me from the local area. I was at the University of Michigan. I was director of corporate and foundation relations for the College of Engineering. And I was at U of M for 5 or 6 years. 6 years total before KLA hired me to run this site.
Yeah, but you're going to say, I hope you like winters because ours are getting a lot tougher here. But then you already know that.
I love winter. Wow. Big cross-country skier.
Okay.
Can't get enough of it.
All right.
It's hard for us to recruit out of California. Now, of course, when they look at the home prices, then that makes it easier. But certainly the weather is not California weather here.
It's not the same weather, it's true, but I think there's a lot of benefit to being here. The quality of life is so high, and once you live through a four-season year, you know, I think you kind of appreciate having that variation, right? You get your apple picking in the fall, you get the tulips coming out in the spring. You don't really have those same seasonal moments if you live in a climate like California.
That's true. Yeah, I was at the San Jose Business Journal in the 1980s, so I'm pretty familiar with California. So anyway,
great. The
MEDC played a big role in bringing you here. What role did they play and how important was that?
They played a pivotal role through the incentive package and also the other support they've given us. It was huge to get that Good Jobs for Michigan grant and to get the other support through the MEDC Business Development Program. I think it made Michigan compete very well. with other locations around the country and North America. We considered a number of sites before we settled on Ann Arbor, and the economic incentive package was a really, really important consideration that helped seal the deal.
I can't recall what that was. What were the terms? Did you got tax incentives and things like that?
The Good Jobs for Michigan program is a recapture program where you basically get a refund on income tax withholdings up to a certain point for every created new job.
Okay. And were there other competing sites besides Ann Arbor?
There were, yeah. We went through a very careful, thoughtful selection process. We started with a list of 392 sites.
Woo.
Then we cut down to 12. Then we narrowed to 3 finalists before we selected Ann Arbor.
What were the other 2 finalists?
Dallas and Toronto, Waterloo, Ontario.
Hmm. Oh.
Yeah, that area is kind of, Waterloo at least, is kind of a tech hub as well. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they do a little technology down in Texas, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
so mostly
yeah,
well, cowboys and cows.
Well,
right?
talk to them in Austin. They make computers there.
Yeah, so. I know. I'm just kidding.
I know.
All right. So great. So you're going to try to get more integrated with the auto industry? I mean, the auto industry, the big thing here now, the big whatever catchphrase, buzz, is connected and autonomous vehicles and now electric vehicles. They're moving right past the hybrids right directly into electric. So you guys see playing into that sphere?
We do. We do. If you look at the chipset of an autonomous car, it's much more complex and much more intense than your car as of 10, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so with that complexity, we think there could be an opportunity for KLA to ensure precision, ensure accuracy of the chipset as cars get more and more complex to deliver these new functions.
And what does KLA stand for, by the way? I was kind of curious.
So historically, KLA was created out of the initials of our founder. So, there was a gentleman named Ken Levy.
Oh, okay.
And then he worked with a collaborator whose name is Anderson. So Ken Levy and then Anderson. Now that we've rebranded the company, we have a slogan called Keep Looking Ahead.
Ah.
And that's how we've branded the company. So KLA is Keep Looking Ahead. We still honor the tradition of the founders. We call our headquarters the Ken Levy Campus. But we have that keep looking ahead tagline to signify our perspective, looking at opportunities ahead.
All right. And once again, the website people go to if they're interested in one of these hundreds of jobs that are going to be opening up in Ann Arbor.
Careers.kla.com.
Okay. Thanks very much, John McLaughlin.
Keep going back. There's just going to be more jobs posted day in and day out.
All right. We'll do that.
Okay. Thanks a
All
lot.
Right.
John McLaughlin of KLA, thanks for being with us today. And we'll be back in just a moment with another segment of the M-Squared TechCast. This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M-Squared TechCast.
Yes, but we don't have our guest. I'm trying to, what should we do here? Should we just go ahead and move right into Dominic? And then hopefully Millie will call in?
Yeah, yeah. Let's do that.
Otherwise, we're going to be filling 15 minutes of dead air, you know? So,
Well,
I can talk all day, guys.
I could get up and do a soft shoe, but that's not good radio.
No, can't see that.
Yeah. Although we are moving to video soon, right?
Yes, July 8th. And you're not even going to be around. You're going to be out of town again. Yeah, another vacation.
Another vacation. Yes, I take
it all. You academic types, you know. So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have our guest calling in, and I am now flagging him to tell him to call in at 2:45. So we'll just go right into Dominic. Dominic Serra, who is the president. Now, you and your wife share the duties, right?
Well, she'd like to be the co-CEO of the company. But...
Well, she tells me she is. So, I mean, never go again your wife, you know. Happy life, happy wife, happy life. Is that how it goes?
Yes. That's how it goes.
But,
it's true.
Mostly I deal with her, but so you're here in studio and you have a new director of sales?
I brought a gentleman with me by the name of Michael Chudarash, who just joined the team, but we've been in business working together for many years.
Yeah, really? Okay.
And we're just doing the rounds here. We figured we'd come visit you since we do that every so often.
Yes, absolutely. So tell us all about, lean into the microphone there.
Alrighty.
All right. So tell us, how did you know this guy here?
Well, I've had the pleasure of knowing Dominic about 15 years. Going back to my previous life, I've been in IT and telecom for the past 34.
Wow.
And in doing that, my previous company always searched for fantastic products and solutions to bring to our clients, which is what brought me to Dominic. I've had the pleasure of providing Metro Wireless to several of my customers in the past, and everybody was always very pleased with that solution. And when the opportunity surfaced, I thought it might be a very good time in my career to join a fantastic growing company.
Okay. And so let's talk a little bit. Now, this could be the first time people have heard of Metro Wireless. So take it away, Dominic. Yeah. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So Metro Wireless, we were founded as a fixed wireless internet service provider, which is a technology that's been around for a long time. It's been used in many different ways over the years, but most in the current times being used to deliver high-speed direct access to businesses. That's how we use it. But we're also kind of morphing a little bit into a more of a business continuity play. So we've got several different delivery methods now, and we're really starting to get more into the networking side with some of our newer offerings, such as like the SD-WAN platform that we have. Which is a big buzzword right now. If you check the technical the carrier marketing stuff, you're going to see that SD-WAN is the hot new buzz term, and we've been doing it for over 3 years. So we've been trying to use that advantage to get ahead of the marketplace a little bit. Another product that we've had a lot of success with is our LTE portfolio of products. That's a nationwide service that we offer, and it's been gaining a lot of traction as well. So we're still doing the fixed wireless. We're still growing that network. It's still expanding, but we're also adding more services.
How big is your footprint? Southeast Michigan, essentially, or what?
Yeah. So here in Detroit, we cover a good portion of the metropolitan area, the Tri-County, and we're looking to expand that outward this year. We're adding more sites. Then we also sell fixed wireless services in 15 other markets through partners. So we have a little bit of a business going there. We're expanding that. We're doing a lot of events and starting to add other services in those markets as well. So that's our main business play right now. But we're quickly kind of moving into some of these newer areas as well.
Well, the biggest news that I've seen out of you recently in terms of press releases was the new POPs that will give you, you know, more of a geographical footprint for the wireless service, the high-speed wireless service. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're adding new sites over Metro Detroit this year. We've got sites being added. As a matter of fact, we just brought up Novi yesterday, and then we've got Rochester that just went live, and we're going to build four or five more sites this year. Livonia and Romulus are next, and then we're still looking at, you know, whether we're going to expand kind of our existing areas in Troy or just do more expansion outward into the fringe areas, the edges. But that we may even increase that. We'll see how it goes, but that's what we're on schedule for now. I thought you were going to say my biggest thing was the bit announcement that we're taking Bitcoin. Because I was like,
oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's true,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I was excited about that because I, you know, I figured that would get us some traction and you know, and it's funny because not 2 weeks after we announced that, AT&T announced it for all their products. And I thought that was significant because, you know, my wife, co-CEO Joanna.
Co-CEO, she's listening. So,
well, I'm gonna hit her because she hit her up on this one because she tried to tell me that it was crazy. We shouldn't do it, and we'd go to jail. And I said no. I said this is gonna be mainstream one day. It's gonna be everywhere. So I was vindicated when AT&T did it, and that was the only thing that saved me. Otherwise, she would have. You know, she might have been.
That's it. You should take that Corvette away from me. All right.
Oh yeah.
You
know? So. Oh, well, I just borrowed that for today. That's not mine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Joyriding.
Yes. Well, that'd be nice. So now, getting back to your wireless that you got, the expansion going on. Let's talk about some of the speeds there. Now, this is like essentially cable broadband kind of speeds, right?
Yeah. So we've started to launch an asymmetrical product, you know, kind of something that would put us in the category of the Comcast tiers that they've got out there. And we are a little more expensive, but our reliability and our speeds are more consistent than those guys. So we like to think that we make a great second or third connection. We don't always have to be the first connection. And that's kind of where the SD-WAN comes in, is that we have this ability now to merge networks. We can take one carrier over here and another one, and we can do a lot of cool things with it, so that essentially your phone doesn't even drop the call if you lose one of the connections. It's so fast that's happened. So we've kind of blended these products together into a bundle, and we've also released with the latest wireless technologies that are out there, we've got the ability now to go into the higher asymmetrical speeds and deliver connections that are up to 200 megabit per second.
Wow.
Very quickly in the course of a day, is where that used to be, you know, multiple times more expensive to do, and it used to take 30 to 60 days to do. Now we're doing it, you know, once or twice a day. So it's just everything, just like everything else, this technology is getting faster, cheaper, and more abundant. So we're just trying to roll with the punches, keep on moving at the speed of the technology.
So we got to get you to come out to Ann Arbor because there's this big R&D facility opening that's going to have all these engineers, and they're going to want to have backup support, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, Ann Arbor's pretty lit, actually. I mean, in terms of they should be able to find something there. But yeah, we'd like to be in Ann Arbor. The southern part of Ann Arbor is probably, I've never actually, going back to my days working for the telephone company, I can tell you that that town probably has more fiber and more connectivity than almost anywhere around because of its, you know, where it sits. And of course, you got the Merritt history with Merritt
going back to the
DARPA net and all that stuff. So yeah, they're pretty well. They'll find a way. They'll find a way if we're not there. We're not there.
I'm hoping through us they find a way.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Well, it never hurts. You know, I'll give you a plug tomorrow when I go to this open house. You know, and say,
absolutely.
Hey, by the way, have you heard of these guys out of Detroit? So that's cool. So you are expanding, and that was besides the Bitcoin thing, which I totally forgot about actually. But I mean the press release you sent me a month or so ago was talking about your expansion into some of the cities that you named, like Rochester, Novi, Livonia, Romulus. And it sounds like you're about halfway through that, right?
Yeah, we're building out. We're getting a lot of warm welcomes, especially in Romulus. They were very receptive there, and they're, you know, that's an area that is kind of a gap, believe it or not. There's some major—
By the airport there.
Yeah, it's complicated to operate around the airport, obviously, with all the height restrictions. But then there's also a fiber restrictions there, and so it's tough.
Really?
And so, yeah, we're really focusing on the area right now. The Downriver area is probably out of all the areas around here is the most underserved, actually. People say Detroit's underserved, but I mean, these days, you know, now in the downtown, you've got, you know, Rocket Fiber now, you've got a lot of companies that have done stuff, and, you know, we're there and others. And so, you know, I think there's these other little gaps that are falling between the cracks, and we're still trying to find those, and they're still out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, but even Detroit, I mean, we've had people on, it's more residential than business, but about 40% of Detroit doesn't have internet.
Yeah, well, the neighborhoods in the residential areas, absolutely.
Right.
Downtown, you know, where the good portion of the business are, that's becoming easier.
Sure.
A lot of the businesses themselves fall along the main corridors, so you've got more options there than you have. But yeah, absolutely, the home stuff, I'm thinking, of course, from the business perspective, is a little bit ahead because, you know, a business will pay quite a bit more than a household.
Yeah, these are premium prices.
And it's a lot easier to justify the build-out of fiber or any kind of technology when you're going into those type of places versus, you know, a $30, $50 connection.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of antenna is required by users to get this internet wirelessly?
Well, you know, that's a good question. So it's based on physics. So we've got some antennas, if it's a short distance, they're 6 inches or they're a foot. Then you get into some of the stuff we do where we're going 20, 30 miles off of a rooftop and you've got a 6-foot dish and you can even go beyond that up to 12 feet, which I've never deployed. But I have deployed, you know, if you look at the cityscape and you look at the rooftops, you'll see a lot of big dishes up there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those are ours. You know, we've done over the years, I've done a lot of that stuff. And we've also done private builds. So like we'll actually go, we've got a lot of companies that we go to where we might go and deliver a private microwave between two buildings, mm-hmm. like a campus, like think of a campus environment. We've mm-hmm. got 4 or 5 buildings and they're spending a fortune on fiber just between their own buildings. Right.
Right.
So we go in and do a microwave ring and take that away. So we've done that too. That's another thing we do is we do private solutions,
mm-hmm.
private solutions for people. Yeah.
Is that big? Is that one of your big revenue streams, big activities?
It's, you know, it's a steady part of the business. Mm-hmm. We haven't really promoted it as much, but it's something that people know us for. They call us in when they've got more complex stuff going on. And also the outdoor Wi-Fi where, you know, most anybody nowadays knows how to build an indoor Wi-Fi network. We don't do as many of those. But
mm-hmm.
when you get an outdoor Wi-Fi, you're starting to talk about doing more complex things. You're spacing nodes. You're doing engineering. And so we still get traction on that stuff because we can still offer a level of expertise
mm-hmm.
as where, you know, a lot of guys that are just getting started can go and sell a Wi-Fi network to an indoor client and wire it.
Mm-hmm. So what frequencies are you using for this? The microwave band, I know, but whereabouts?
Yeah, so the microwaves start at 6 gigahertz, which is the beginning of the license band, and then they go all the way up to 80 gigahertz range. So
okay.
There's a
and that's
big,
like just below FM, right?
It's
so, or above FM, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you know your UHF and VHF stuff is going to be your low frequencies. Mm-hmm. That's going to be you know, sub 1,000. And then you've got like your Wi-Fi range is the 2.4 and the 5 gig,
yep.
right? And then there's some other stuff in between there. But then when you get into the licensed common carrier microwaves, you're between 6 to 38 and then 60 to 80. You know, so there's a whole bunch going. And then, of course, like the higher you go up the scale, the way that the frequencies work change quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And this is more than line of sight, right? You don't need line of sight or
most
or
of the you? Microwave you do.
Okay.
Yeah. We do some stuff that's partial, you know, near line of sight, non-line of sight, you know, but most of what we do is going to be still line of sight.
So you got to be in a tall building if you want to go a long way.
Buildings, towers, you know, sometimes we're talking corn silo if we're, you know, it can be that. Water tank.
We got a little over a minute left. Let's get it down into how people can reach out to either of you guys.
Well, I brought Mike along today because, you know, he's an industry vet and he's just joined the team. You know, he didn't want to say it out loud, but, you know, he left a company he was with for 17 years to mm-hmm. come with us. And
whoa.
I would like to direct you towards, you know, towards Mike. If you're interested, give us a call on our, you know, to our main line. We'll ask for Mike. He's waiting to take your call, and I think you're going to love working with this guy. I love working with him.
Well, pronounce his last name one more time.
The last name is Shooterash.
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 Okay. I wrote it out, but I didn't want to try to.
Some people call him Shooter, I found out just now.
Oh, Shooter.
Shooter.
So they can call, ask for Mike Shooter, right?
That'll get me there. And real quick, you know, just I'm so pleased to be with Metro Wireless. Our business class line of services, our solutions, our service level arrangements, SLAs are fantastic. And lastly, I think I work with one of the best teams I've met so far in my career.
That would include Joanna, of course. Right?
Oh, most Joanna. Definitely.
Right, well, I know she's Joanna. Listening. She asked for the podcast, so I want to make sure that she's happy, right?
Oh, yeah. She's that's happy wife, happy life.
There you
happy
go.
Life. Yep.
Okay. That's it, I guess, for this segment.
Okay. Thanks very much to Dominic Serra of Metro Wireless and their new and expanded and faster service. We'll be hearing more from them in the future, I'm sure. We'll be back in just another minute with another segment. Right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU 5th among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
We're back. I'm just waiting for Matt to put his headphones on.
Hello there.
There we go. Okay.
I'm back. Hey, it's Matt Roush.
Hey. Meili Ostale calling in from Istanbul. Yes, really. A good connection, but it's our Skype line, right? So, all right. So, it is a
discussion. So we shall see.
We shall see. Yes. Erdogan hasn't cut it off yet. You know. So,
now come on, don't want to get Meili in trouble here with the,
that's
with
right.
the locals.
We're going international, guys.
Yes. So, as a disclaimer, Meili is my webmaster and does all my social media, does a hell of a job, and made great improvements from where we were 3 years ago. So, I wanted to give him a little shout out and a thank you. And now he wants to you're welcome. And now he wants to share all that expertise with the world here because he's going to have a webinar coming up. What was the date on that again, Meili?
Next Tuesday, June 18th.
Okay.
It'll be at 9:00 Eastern time.
Okay.
There is it's a go-to webinar, which we will be recording. So anybody who registered, even if you don't attend, it will be sent a link to listen to the webinar, afterwards if they'd like. And then the presentations will be made available to everybody as well.
Yeah, we'll share them from MI Tech News in my newsletter and whatnot as well. I know from experience, live is tough for a lot of people because stuff happens, right? You know, and so the fact that it's available on demand, I think, is a real plus.
Exactly. I agree. I should say, guys, I'm not the only one helping out with your website. My team in Birmingham, Michigan.
That's it. Yeah, he's
the, in line.
Melee's the international man of mystery, but the rest of them are in Birmingham. So
exactly. I agree.
All right. So what we're going to be talking about, I guess, is what you're going to be talking about next week on the webinar is, do you really need to spend more money to get more traffic, right?
I agree. We have found, especially in the last 9-12 months, as we have been, one of the things that we do with our clients is we review their Google Analytics with them either weekly or monthly. And when you go through the review, the analysis, and then more importantly, the interpretation of what it is that you're looking at, you find that using the data such as number of people coming to a specific page, their bounce rate, how long they spent on that page. And then one of the beautiful things about Google Analytics nowadays is that it even shows you what the path is that people took once they got to that, where they came to that, how they got to that page. And once they got to that page and they left it, where did they go? Mm. And what I mean by that is if they went to another page within your website, you kind of get a sense of where they went. That also helps you interpret how they got to that page. Did they use the navigation or was there a call to action within the page? And so there's some very interesting things that come out of this process, which if you're looking for leads or sales, the results are entirely dependent upon the visuals. What is your call to action? What's your directive? These are the types of things that we review when we're trying to say, hey, let's improve the conversion of your website.
And you've had a lot of experience doing this. I forget how many years it's been. You guys were in the old world before the internet, so you were just a straight marketing company. And then when the internet came along, I'm not sure exactly when, somewhere in the 90s when you transitioned into that, right?
Yeah, we actually started out in the digital world in 94. So, yes, we're a veteran of the days when it started, your Netscapes, your Yahoo.
Oh, yeah, I remember those, Netscape.
And then the wild, wild west of the 1990s because it truly was the wild, wild west. There wasn't a lot of structure to how we were doing marketing on the web. And then when Google went public in 2004, the missing structure and strategy evolved. And so now the internet has become a full-fledged strategic business marketing tool that's generating revenue for businesses all around the world.
So what have been the big changes, say, over the last 5 years or so? I mean, it's gotten a lot more sophisticated. It's no longer the wild, wild west. Well, to some degree it is. But, I mean...
Yeah, you're right. It's not the wild, wild west. There are distinct, especially in the marketing area, there's distinct segments that have continually evolved. So, for example, influencer marketing. It's a huge segment of the internet nowadays. 5 years ago, influencer marketing was just starting. Now it's a complete, robust, and mature process. In other words, you're taking your advertising dollars, and instead of putting a display ad up or a text ad in Google, which is no longer as effective as it used to be, you're actually hiring a human being who has, let's say, 2 million followers and using them to get the word out about your products and services or your brand. And there's different ways of using influencers. So if you're talking about the last 5 years, one of the biggest changes is influencer marketing. Another big change would be social selling. In other words, take your sales team and don't ask them to make cold calls. Take your sales team, put them on LinkedIn and have them connect with people, have them like, share, and comment on their target audience shares and develop relationships. And so social selling.
Say that fast three times, right?
Social selling is effectively relationship marketing for the sales department. And, you know, that's another area that has boomed in the last 5 years. We've had a variety of areas that have been growing. And so, for example, when we start talking about conversion, website conversions, there's also a metric nowadays called conversion rate optimization, or CRO. And that's a metric that's being used to decide, okay, how many people did you have in the top of the funnel versus how many people actually became leads or bought products. And the higher that number, obviously, between the top and the bottom, the better. So CRO is important, but in order to make CRO work, your user experience or UX is an important factor. There's also something called user interface, UI. And so how people interface with your website is important. These are all elements that help to drive to make sure that your conversions are heading in the right direction. So this science, so to speak, of conversion optimization, user experience, user interface have all been growing and evolving in the last 5 years into a completely separate segment of how you manage your website's health and performance.
All right. So let's talk about things like bounce rates. So, I mean, that you really want to keep people on your website as long as you can. And if they come in and just look at one thing and bounce out, that's a bounce rate, right?
Correct. You're absolutely right. So, for example, if somebody comes to your website, whether it's your homepage or inside page, so their entry point is irrespective nowadays. It doesn't make a difference where they enter your website through. If they get to that one page and they leave your website, it doesn't make a difference if they spent 30 seconds on that page or 3 minutes on the page. It makes no difference. The bottom line is they were on one single page and they left your website. That's considered a bounce, which means that your website's not effective to keep them engaged to go to other pages. And that's a very important metric. That's kind of your top line metric to decide whether or not your website's effective. What should the average bounce rate be? Well, somewhere around 30% or less would be best. I think 30% is probably average. 20%, 10% obviously better. But if you're hitting 50% bounce rates and higher, then your website's not effective. it's missing an important factor to keep people engaged.
What would keep people more engaged? When I know you deal with a lot of very large clients, what do you advise them? I mean, obviously I'm a small media group, but I mean, so I'm a little different. But I mean, you deal with a lot of very big clients. What do you tell them on the bounce rate thing?
Well, first of all, the question on the bounce rate is, if you're hitting 50% or higher, are you getting the right traffic?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with that. How are people coming to your website? What's the source? If it's Google, let's say, and I'm just throwing out some numbers. Let's say that 70% of your traffic is coming from Google, but your bounce rate is 55%. Well, that means that Google is sending the wrong people to your website.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in return, says, okay, well, how is your website optimized? What's the content look like? What's Google's interpretation of your website, where you might want to use Google's, what we call what Google's Search Console, it used to be called Google Webmaster Tools, to help interpret whether or not Google is getting what you want from them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're saying, hey, I want to be known for cars, but Google says, oh, you're about car manufacturing, well, you're getting the wrong traffic.
Yeah.
So how your blog posts, your pages, the text copy, how the pages are optimized, all impact how whether or not Google is sending the right traffic. So to answer your question, it's the starting point, if you have a high bounce rate, is going to be, where is the traffic coming from, and is it the right traffic? Once you've answered that question, then you can move on to the next question, which is, what's the call to action? When somebody gets to that page, are you expecting them to use the main navigation, which is the wrong thing to do nowadays?
Yeah.
Or are you giving them a directive within the body of the web page?
Mm-hmm.
Saying, hey, I want you to do this. Click on this and go to here. Be very clear and concise about this call to action. That's what's going to help to drive that that engagement that you're looking for.
Okay. What other tips do you provide your clients to improve the performance of their websites?
Well, the starting point in this process is to stop spending money on driving more traffic if your existing website's analytics says that it's not effective.
Yeah.
But we find so often that clients say, hey, let's spend more money and drive more traffic. Let's more advertising dollars, for example. And you know what? If your website's getting 10,000 visitors or 5,000 visitors or even 1,000 visitors, and you say you want to double that, well, the cost to double it, irrespective of that volume, is too high compared to, hey, let's spend 30 days to figure out how to improve the website. You might lose 30 days. It's an interpreted, perceived loss 30 days. But if you can figure out how to get the equation correct, then your next 90 days are going to be far more effective than the 30-day loss that you think you had.
All right. We only got about a minute left. This is where you get to put out some information one more time on your webinar on next week, Tuesday. What's the date on that? That would be the 18th.
Yep.
How they can find that information, how they can find out more information about Smart Finds.
First of all, you can come to our website at smartfindsmarketing.com. And we do have information on our blog about the webinar. We also have information, recent articles posted on our blog about website conversions. There's two articles about that. We will be posting a press release tomorrow about the webinar next week, Tuesday at 9 a.m. on June 18th. And the registration link and information will be there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much, Mely Ostale from Smart Finds Marketing. Want to thank Mely and all of our guests today, Metro Wireless Dominic Serra, KLA's John McLaughlin, and we kicked off the show with Vittoria Katansky of Hatch Detroit about their brick-and-mortar store and restaurant pitch competition.
$100,000.
$100,000. Nothing to sneeze at. That'll get you started in most
businesses.
Absolutely.
Nice trip to the Bahamas, too.
Okay. You know, so. Might stay there a while for
yeah,
that kind of money.
Yeah, I'll hide out.
All know. Right. Well, thanks very much to all of our guests today. We will be back next Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time right here at Podcast Detroit. And you can listen to the podcast at mitechnews.com, SoundCloud, iTunes, all over the place. That's right. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And thanks for listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.